Lose weight without compromising your health with the Fast 800 Shakes. They're high in protein, low in carbs, with no added sugar. Plus, they're a third of your daily fiber needs. At around 200 calories per serve, they're perfect on fasting days when you need a bit of support or as a nutritious meal when cooking from scratch is too hard. Visit thefast800.com and use the code SHAKES for 20% off.
Hey, Barry here. I joined Giffgaff in 2011 and I've stayed ever since. What I love is there's no stress. The value and flexibility is fantastic. They've also fixed their UK prices this year, so even if my bills go up elsewhere, I've got one less thing to worry about. Hooray! Thanks, Giffgaff. After 11 years, I'm still in the right place.
Incredibly exciting.
It's really about love.
As a developer, that's an amazing feeling to have.
Good day, everybody, and welcome to episode 164 of the latest PS5 podcast. I'm your host, Sonny Sanguera, and I am on a solo one today, ladies and gentlemen. So the plan was for me and Alex to record this week. Initially, it was going to be Thursday. Work got involved, so it got in the way, really. So we couldn't record on Thursday. We agreed to do Friday morning, and then bang, Thursday was my fault for work. Friday, Alex got called into some work meetings, so he was unable to record. And yeah, it's just really tricky this week. So you got me on the solo, on my ones this week. So we're going to go through a lot of news. So what have I got planned for you this episode? Well, a new app is available on PlayStation 5. And if you're a PlayStation Plus Premium member, you get free access. Marvel understands it needs a new approach to its video games IP, and it has plans to address them, which we'll go over as well. We have a whole bunch of Spider-Man 2 news and updates to get through this week. I didn't want to talk much about Spider-Man 2 on the weeks running up to launch, but there's just news, right? So we've got to talk about it. And Naughty Dog seems to be struggling with factions. We shall detail that and everything else for you. As I mentioned, it's just me this week. So, what have I been playing this week? Well, guys, listeners, check this. It's been weeks now, right, since I got the Platinum in Football Manager on the PS5. And then I went through a bit of a gaming lull where I just didn't want to play anything. I was just waiting for Spider-Man 2. And the only thing I was really playing was eFootball Online with my brother. Well, I've had the week off work this past week. The missus is working abroad, so I've had the whole week off. And I'm not going to lie, man, I've been so unproductive, but digitally productive. Now, you know what that means. Unproductive, didn't do anything really around the house. Digitally productive, man, I've been going cinema. I went to the cinema 3 times this week. I watched The Equalizer 3. I watched The Creator, which is a really good film. And I watched one more, A Haunting in Venice, right? So I did that. But on top of that, I got back into that gaming habit, and I didn't play one, I didn't play two, I didn't play three, I played 4 games in my week off, ladies and gentlemen. And not only did I play 4 games, one of them is eFootball Online, right? So we'll move that to the side. So I've played 3 games this week, and not only did I play 3 games, I platinumed not one, I platinumed not two, but I platinumed all 3 games, ladies and gentlemen. What did I fucking play? Okay, so I picked up Terminator Resistance. I've really wanted to play it, you know. I just like the music in Terminator. I like the whole story with Skynet. I like the fact that you're just shooting T-800s, right? So I picked up Terminator Resistance And the cool thing is, if you're intrigued about it, buy the cheaper PS4 version. It's a free upgrade to PS5, right? So you're getting the PS5 version anyway, but you're not paying the 15 quid extra. So I played that. It's just a pretty basic first-person shooter, you know. But I got to give a shout-out to the Infiltrator mode. That's really cool. So the main campaign you play as a human, and it's cool because it's all leading up to the events of the original Terminator film, which is cool. So that's the story campaign. So I did that. But infiltrator mode is you play the role. You're in a map, no markers. You're a Terminator. You have to gain intel to find the location of the secret bunker and then obviously kill everyone while you're doing it as well. But there's no, if you die, no save point, nothing. You got to go again. It takes about an hour to do if you do it properly. You need to do it, obviously, if you want to get the Platinum Trophy. But yeah, it's not a bad game, you know. 6.5, 7 out of 10, I'll give it. Again, it had a great opportunity to have some stunning visuals. But again, it was a last generation game. So it was decent. So 6.5, 7. So it's just classed as good from me. Another game I played was Telling Lies. Now, this is available for you on your PlayStation Plus Extra or Premium subscription. And it's basically you sit down in front of a laptop and you're just controlling a desktop. And there's a database of videos and you're just watching them. Some range from seconds, some range to about 3, 4, 5 minutes. And it's just all over the place. Like, it's just different videos. And you're just watching them and you're piecing the characters and the story together. Now, to find the videos, though, every time you search a subject, you only get 5 videos. So, and obviously it will tell you if you've viewed it, if you find it later on. And then you're just listening to the videos and you're looking at keywords, places, names. And then you search that and then you find it. Got the platinum in that as well. And then I played Unpacking, ladies and gentlemen. Again, another game available in your PlayStation Plus Extra or Premium subscription. Now, this is just a game where you just have cardboard boxes. It's a point and click. You're looking at it from an isometric standpoint and you just got rooms and you're just opening boxes and putting things away. And when all the boxes are done, it will flash red objects that are in the wrong place and you just got to put them in the right place. It's just a chill out, cool, calm game. Easy plat. Takes about 4 or 5 hours to get the platinum. But yeah, got the platinum on all three because I'm a G. That's what I do. So yeah, that was my gaming. I'm back in that gaming habit. I've just picked up The Expanse, a Telltale series. It's on sale for a couple more days. It's from $34.99 down to $19.99. So not a bad deal there. I thought I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to clock it and play it before Spider-Man 2 comes out. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, before we move forward with the news, let's look back at this week in gaming history. I love that jingle. I always get memories of the PlayStation 1 era when I hear that startup sound. But let's go into the history. 33 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, in 1990, Sega launched the Game Boy killer in their eyes, the Game Gear handheld console. Now, for those of you who are, privileged to be in your late 30s, you would have grown up in the Game Gear, Game Boy era. And if you just remember how big and bulky that Game Gear was and how many batteries it took just to have a color screen was absolutely insane. But it was obviously went up against the Game Boy. It never really stood a chance. It had the power, it had the games, but it just didn't have Tetris. So that was a big issue. But yeah, 33 years ago, 1990, the Game Gear handheld console was launched. Let's fast forward a number of years. 17 years ago in 2006, say hello to my little friend. The world is yours, ladies and gentlemen. Scarface was released on the PlayStation 2. Now, what made this game so cool is obviously it plays the events of the film. You survive. The game opens with the end gun sequence and you survive. And you got to rebuild your way up to becoming, the kingpin Tony Montana again. But if you just pressed square, he just swore. That's it. That's all Tony Montana did. So you just keep pressing square. He just keeps swearing, which was hilarious. I would have loved to see what a trophy like that would have been. But yeah, 17 years ago in 2006 was the launch of Scarface. 14 years ago in 2009, a small developer developed a small game which was actually published by Sony and was exclusive to PlayStation 3. Sony had the opportunity to pick up the developer, they didn't, or pick up exclusive rights to future IP, but they didn't. Ladies and gentlemen, that small game was Demon's Souls, and that small developer was From Software. Yep, Sony missed a beat on that one, because 2 years later, 12 years ago in 2011, that same small developer released a small game called Dark Souls and went on to create a whole new Souls-like genre. And again, that developer was From Software. Interesting variety in that history in gaming. I love this section because it's nice to throw back to the history of gaming. But that's all the history. So now we're going to go to the modern day and we're going to talk all the latest news and everything on PlayStation 5.
This is live from PS5. Let's go now to our first story.
I haven't even gotten to the first news story and my throat is already like, yo, you're talking too much. Okay, number one. Sony Interactive Entertainment has announced that PlayStation Pictures Core, a rebranding of what was previously known as Bravia Core, has launched its dedicated app this week for PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4. Those of you who sign up for the service on either console will be able to rent or buy up to 2,000 films straight from PlayStation 5 or PlayStation 4. The Sony Pictures Core app launches with the likes of Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, great film, Spider-Man No Way Home, Uncharted, The Equalizer, No Hard Feelings, Bullet Train, and Ghostbusters Afterlife. So via the PlayStation blog, Sony went on to say, with Sony Pictures Core on PS5 and PS4, you'll be able to purchase select Sony Pictures films during an exclusive early access window straight from your console. In select markets such as the UK, France, Germany, and Japan, the first film with early access will be Gran Turismo, based on a true story, which is based on the unbelievable true story of a team of unlikely underdogs, a struggling working class gamer, a failed former race car driver, and an idealistic motorsport executive. Together, they risk it all to take on the most elite sport in the world. In addition, those of you who are a PlayStation Plus Premium member, you can get a curated catalogue of up to 100 movies through the Sony Pictures Core app to stream on demand via your membership. Now, it's cool. We spoke about this a few months back. Shout out to Insider. Well, she's not even an insider. She just gives you news, man. Millie Amand on Twitter, who posted that this was going to happen months and months ago before anybody mentioned it. And then lo and behold, here we are. Now, I went on there. I downloaded the app. It's free. It's only 400 megabytes. Download it. It sits in the media section of your PlayStation 5. All the new films are on there that you can rent and buy. It's like £14 to buy it. It's like £5, £5.50 to rent the film. So I just went to the PlayStation Plus section, which is listed on the side. So you can see it clearly. 100 films on there. Nothing great, nothing special. It's literally just older films, obviously, that Sony and Columbia TriStar, who they own, released. But it's worth having a look. It's like we said, it's absolutely free. You don't have to moan about it. It's one of those where you download the app, it takes barely any space on your SSD, and you have 100 films for free. So you might feel like watching it, even if you don't plan to use it because you have Netflix. That's totally cool. But like I said, it's free, so you can't go wrong with free, right?
If Archie the Labrador could talk, which he can't, but if he could, he'd tell you he's knocking on a bit and his arthritis is playing up. Tell me about it, Archie. I make old man noises whenever I stand up. But with the right supplements, you'll feel like a gymnast again. Trust me, Archie boy. Paws.com can help you find all the food, treatments and supplements your pet needs to live a healthy and happy life. Paws, pet care made personal. That's paws as in, you know, their tiny little hands and feet. Yeah, don't know why I did that.
We are Venom.
Okay, I mentioned at the top of the show I didn't really want to talk about Spider-Man 2, but there has been some news, so let's get into it. Number 2, Insomniac Games' James Stevenson has taken to Twitter to reveal details on Marvel Spider-Man 2's web-swinging assist feature, which allows players to tinker between 10 different levels to make things easier or more difficult when it comes to swinging yourself through New York City. Stevenson was quick to point out that the web swinging assist is not part of the game's accessibility options, of which there are many, by the way, and rather is just something players can tinker with if they feel like. The standard setting is 10, which is where the game will be set on at the beginning, which mirrors that of the previous games, so you can simply leave it at that if you're happy. So James Stevenson posted on Twitter, "For instance, there are 10 levels of swing assistance on that slider. The game starts at the default from the previous games. It's level 10. So it's a feature we let players turn down to get less assistance if they want." So basically means the lower number you go from 10, the harder swinging will become. And I ain't going to lie, I will get pissed off if I'm chasing a car and I swing into a building or something like that, right? I am going to test it out. I think it will be kind of cool to see what it's like. As long as there ain't no trophy for it, then we're in a good place. But a nice little difficulty option for people who may find Spider-Man a bit too easy. Also, Insomniac Games has unleashed a stunning-looking cinematic trailer for Spider-Man 2, offering a glimpse at Peter Parker and Miles Morales going up against the hulking Venom. So if you head over to YouTube on the PlayStation channel, you'll be able to see a whole new full TV ad for Spider-Man. It looks insane, ladies and gentlemen. So make sure you go over and have a look at that. And then finally, in regards to Spider-Man 2, Adidas has a new collection inspired by Insomniac's upcoming Spider-Man adventure, with shoes, sweatshirts, tights, and cleats, all with designs inspired by the symbiote and advanced suit from the game. A pair of the Adidas Ultra 4D Advanced and the Ultra Boost J shoes are in the collection, along with the Adizero 12.0 football cleat. The collection will be available on October 20th, 2023 to coincide with the game's release. So if you're planning to grab it along with the game, you'll need to be prepared. You can imagine how fast these fucking things are going to go. Marvel Spider-Man 2 is due out on October 20th. We're not far, ladies and gentlemen, for the PlayStation 5, and sees Peter Parker and Miles Morales battling a new threat in the form of supervillains Kraven the Hunter, the Lizard, and Venom. Sony will release a new PS5 bundle featuring a copy of the superhero sequel day and date with the new game. Ladies and gentlemen, oh my God. We have gone long, long, long from Miles to Spider-Man 2, from that first Spider-Man 2 reveal trailer to the precipice of the launch on what could be Sony's biggest game. Now, I say that, so it has to beat God of War Ragnarok. So it's got to sell over 5 million copies in its opening week to beat God of War in regards to the fastest and biggest selling first-party PlayStation game on launch. I can't wait, guys. Seriously, the fact that I had to go through a gaming lull because I just wanted to play Spider-Man 2 to now. And if you go all the way back to the beginning of the year where me, Alex and Demi did our most anticipated games of 2023, Spider-Man 2 was my number one game. I can't wait, ladies and gentlemen. I cannot wait for this. Okay, similar to Spider-Man 2, we've got multiple new stories on Cyberpunk. Number 3, CD Projekt Red, the developer behind critically acclaimed titles such as The Witcher 3, Wild Hunt, and Cyberpunk 2077, has announced it has partnered with Anonymous Content to produce a live-action project set in the world of Cyberpunk 2077. The partnership will see Anonymous Content's head of television, Garrett Kemble, director of development, Ryan Schwartz, and chief creative officer, David Levine, working directly with CD Projekt Red on the project. Anonymous is perhaps best known for its works on producing the Emmy-winning series True Detective and Mr. Robot, as well as movies The Revenant and Spotlight. The Cyberpunk 2077 live-action project is in the early stages of development and is currently looking for a screenwriter. Kemble, Levine and Schwartz will produce for Anonymous Content alongside Charlie Scully. Anonymous Content's AC Studio serves as the studio behind the Cyberpunk 2077 live-action project, which will also be developed in close collaboration with the creative team behind the video game. It's kind of cool, and it's more important that you stick close to the creative team of the game, as you saw with HBO, Craig Mazin, and The Last of Us with Naughty Dog. So you got to do that. But sticking with Cyberpunk, The upcoming Cyberpunk 2077 sequel, which is codenamed Project Orion by developer CD Projekt Red, is currently on a conceptual design level, the developer has revealed. Speaking during an investor presentation today, Adam Badowski, Chief Creative Officer at CDPR, offered a brief update on the much-anticipated sequel. This project is on a conceptual design level right now, and it's going to be designed by a team of veterans who were responsible for fine-tuning Cyberpunk 2077 and designing Phantom Liberty. We're going to work out of North America, Vancouver, and Boston locations. Team leadership are already there. And in late 2024, we're going to work with teams of several dozen people, while as a target, half of the developers are going to work out of the northern US territories and the other half out of Poland. The Cyberpunk 2077 sequel hasn't been given an official title yet, but it is confirmed to utilize Epic Games' Unreal Engine technology. It's obviously a major project, and as such, CDPR is reported to be putting hundreds of developers to work on the new game. CDPR recently launched Cyberpunk 2077 Update 2.00 and the expansion Phantom Liberty, which the studio confirmed are among the last big updates for the epic sci-fi title. How crazy is it, ladies and gentlemen, that me mainly, shit on this game so much at launch? Not because of the actual game, but because of the quality of the design of it and how it was broken and it was glitchy and it was just broke to F. And look at it now. It's crazy, right, ladies and gentlemen? What a turnaround story. Another one again. And I'm going to talk about Cyberpunk sales later when I do the charts and stuff, but It's a comeback story for the ages in the video game industry with Cyberpunk, but I will always stand by the fact that it shouldn't have been there in the first place at that state. They should have delayed it and then done it, you know? But it is what it is.
This episode is brought to you by ITV Hub. You've got a rare night in all to yourself, a dream, but what to watch? ITV Hub has you covered. Some drama, Trigger Point, and the Ipcrest file will keep you gripped. Light entertainment, Gordon, Gino and Fred, Road Trip and Britain's Got Talent, reality TV, Love Island and Georgia and Tommy, Baby Steps. Fancy binging on a US box set? The Sex Lives of College Girls is the one for you. Watch more series than ever before on ITV Hub.
Okay, number four. I feel like it's been a while since we spoke about this company. Housemarque, the Sony-owned team behind Returnal, has announced plans to relocate to a new studio in Finland's capital, Helsinki, by the end of next year. Housemarque's brand director, Mikael Häivari, commented, "Housemarque, a member of the PlayStation Studios family and Finland's longest-standing gaming firm, is gearing up to launch one of the Nordic's most advanced gaming headquarters by the end of 2024. This facility will not only be a testament to our rich gaming legacy, but will also be a beacon of innovation and creativity in the northernmost capital. Sustainability remains core to our values. Our revamped hub will champion green initiatives, ensuring a balance between technology and planetary care. As we embark on this transformative journey, we're committed to further solidifying our position in the world of gameplay innovation." Returnal was released for the PS5 in April 2021 and is one of many recent first-party games to be ported to the PC. What a game. I still need to finish it, you know. It's just one of those games that if you fucking die, you go all the way back to the beginning, and I cannot be asked to do that. But, ladies and gentlemen, obviously we see Housemarque is going up. They are obviously getting new facilities. I wouldn't be surprised if this new, when it talks about most advanced gaming headquarters, is to do with motion capture and obviously camera equipment and things like that to really be able to create player models. We've seen stateside in North America, like Santa Monica Studios and somewhat, Sony's got such an advanced setup for motion capture that other companies, including Microsoft, rent out and use it, you know. So having that facility available to developers in Europe as well, that they don't have, they can travel to Helsinki and use Housemarque's motion capture via renting it as well. Again, it's another cash stream for Sony and Housemarque. But exciting times to see what Housemarque are doing next. And a key thing that they said in their statement, solidifying our position in the world of gameplay innovation. So they're obviously looking at ways to change gameplay. And if you've played Returnal, you just know how shit hot that game is.
Struggled for a long time with surviving.
All right. Just a day after Naughty Dog reportedly laid off dozens of contract employees who were working on its supposedly still coming Last of Us multiplayer title, said to be Factions, the principal monetization designer on the game has left the studio. Spotted first by Naughty Dog Info on Twitter, designer Andreas Howard now has his time at Naughty Dog listed as ending September 2023 on his LinkedIn profile. Howard was in the position for 11 months, and on top of the layoffs, this doesn't all seem to bode well for this multiplayer title Naughty Dog has been pouring seemingly a lot of resources into. After Bungie looked at the game and cast doubt on it being viable for a long-running live service, Naughty Dog has scaled down the project as it claims it is re-evaluating the project's direction. Factions, as a multiplayer add-on to the original Last of Us, was a surprise hit in every sense. In a time where multiplayer modes were being added to every game simply because having an online multiplayer mode seemed vital to publishers, no one could have expected Factions to be as popular as it was. It was so good. But it ended up having a community of players that still play even today. And while the return of Factions may have once seemed like a glowing opportunity, its seemingly struggled development cycle might seal its fate before players even get their hands on it. At the very least, at least we know that it's not all multiplayer focus at Naughty Dog, as we know it's working on a new single player project. Oh, God, guys, come on. Like, you know, they just, you don't have to hit, when you got an IP as strong as The Last of Us, you do not have to hit a home run right off the bat with these sort of games. Look at Final Fantasy, look at No Man's Sky. I mean, we just talked about Cyberpunk as well, but you just got to get it at a base level good. I mean, you can build and build. And when you got an IP as strong as The Last of Us, you can go from there. But I think what Sony were doing here is they wanted to charge for the game. We know Helldivers is going to be $40 when it comes out, and they probably wanted to charge $40 for The Last of Us as well. But make this free to play, force it onto everybody's home screen. It's not downloaded, but it's the icons there to remind you. And just keep working and fixing on the game and making changes then. But obviously, they didn't want to do that. But yeah, I mean, it looks like it's going to be the end of the road for Factions. Or they're just going to down... I think they'll downscale it and just put it into a Last of Us 2 remake. Or The Last of Us 3, if that's a project that is still happening.
Heard about Swole Panda, the bamboo clothing company that needed a bit of help from GoDaddy.
One day, one of them's like,
our clothes might be sustainable, but our business won't be.
We need more customers.
And then it hits him.
We need GoDaddy. Look, we can get a domain name and build a website.
Yes,
to get found online and reach more customers.
And now, after a little online growth spurt, everyone's like,
your socks are so sick. They Swole Panda.
Yeah, fam. They made it out of bamboo, sustainable, innit?
For all the help and tools you need to grow online. GoDaddy.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
I'm dying here, guys, but I'm happy to say it's the final story of the week. Number 6. Marvel is reportedly painfully aware that its games are failing to reach their potential, and that's according to industry sources and well-known comic book scoopers who obviously leak a lot of stuff from Marvel. While it's unfair to label them as outright flops, the likes of Marvel's Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Marvel's Midnight Suns fail to set the tills alight, with Marvel's Avengers having been delisted from storefronts just 3 years after launch. As such, Marvel is looking to address the problem with several high-profile releases. So this is from somebody at Marvel Inside who wants to remain anonymous. We are painfully aware of how our video games division hasn't been reaching its potential overall. Both Spider-Man 2018 and Miles Morales have separately outsold Avengers, Guardians, and Midnight Suns combined. So that means that Miles Morales alone has sold more than those three combined. And so obviously so has Spider-Man 2018. There have been whispers of an internal shift for Marvel to focus on our games. The new EA Black Panther and Iron Man games will be the start of a big push for EA Marvel. Iron Man is currently in development at EA Motive, while Cliffhanger Games, a brand new studio under the EA banner, is working on the single-player Black Panther video game. And obviously, meanwhile, Marvel Spider-Man 2 is coming out on October 20th for the PS5, as well as a development cycle for Wolverine, which is currently in production. There's a lot of Marvel games coming out, but yeah, Square over-pushed what they thought Avengers could do, and yeah, they didn't stick with it. And then at the same time, on top of that, Midnight Suns is a required taste, the sort of gameplay that it is, and Guardians of the Galaxy. Again, this internal expectations of a Marvel game are so high, you're not going to do that if you're not Spider-Man, right? And Sony nailed, they got the right IP, they nailed the gameplay, they nailed the story, and they backed it massively. And you need to hit all these things to have a successful superhero game. Like, I'm not lying to you guys. I think there is going to be a big problem with Suicide Squad and the Justice League game. I think that game is going to flop, ladies and gentlemen, because it's not Batman. You know, if it doesn't have Batman in the title, it's not going to do great. And I think you're going to see a massive issue with this game, with its sales, just like you saw with Gotham Knights as well. So it's not looking all rosy on the superhero video game front, but who knows? Obviously, Spider-Man 2 is going to sell shed loads. Wolverine will do well as well. But let's see what Iron Man and Black Panther can do for these games.
Experts are linking all of these events to an increase in activity on PS5.
Story's coming a little fast. The ship crash lands on
who's
the valley. Great next
thank
week.
You,
I'm sorry to cut you up there,
shapes
Tom. Unprecedented age.
Let's go right now.
This was live from PS5, bringing you the extraordinary.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are here for last week's chart in the UK for video games. So, at number 10 is The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt Complete Edition. Now, retailer promotions saw this game return to the top 10, with The Witcher 3 jumping from number 22 to number 10 with a 59% rise in sales. At number 9, it's Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. At number 8 is Star Wars Jedi Survivor. That's another game that benefited from retailer promotions. It jumped from number 30-something to number 8, thanks to a whopping 216% boost, thanks to that price promotion. At number 7, you have Minecraft. At number 6, you have The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. At number 5, you have Grand Theft Auto 5. At number 4, you have Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. At number 3, you have Hogwarts Legacy. At number 2, you have last week's number 1, Mortal Kombat 1, which is knocked down to number 2, and it had a massive 83% week-on-week drop in sales. That is massive. And at number 1, ladies and gentlemen, I told you this, it was going to go straight into number 1, and as soon as it did, FIFA 23 wouldn't chart anymore, which, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time since launch, FIFA 23 was not mentioned in the top 10, and it will not be mentioned again, because at number 1 is the first title in Electronic Arts' new football series, and it launched straight in at number 1, EA Sports FC 24. So according to GFK data, the number of copies EA Sports FC sold physically in its first week are actually 30% lower than FIFA 23 at launch. It was expected internally at EA that the rebrand would result in some short-term impact on sales, and it's possible a surge in digital sales may reduce that gap. Even with the year-on-year decline, EA Sports FC stands as the second biggest retail launch of 2023, bested only by The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, but once digital is taken into account, it will become the highest. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, EA Sports FC is number 1 in the chart, and it will probably sit there now. It will sit in the top 3 for the rest of the year, and it will just keep coming back up and down, up and down. But I said it, ladies and gentlemen, remember, EA Sports FC will not leave the top 10 for the whole year. Okay? So this is week 1 of 1, ladies and gentlemen. EA Sports FC is in the chart, all right? 1 week, one entry. So we're there. 1 of 1, EA Sports FC. We're going to keep track of this, all right? In other sales news, Cyberpunk 2077 has officially sold over 25 million copies since release,
for the game, and we talk about how broken that game was at launch. It's at 25 million now. The Phantom Liberty DLC is at 3 million copies sold in its first week. So obviously Idris Elba was a big selling point on that game. So Phantom Liberty is at over 3 million copies sold in the first week. And this is an interesting one. We got an estimate of the digital versus physical software ratio in Japan. And it seems like Japan has a strong preference for physical media. So PlayStation 4. Well, actually, we'll start with the Switch. 87% of all Switch games sold in Japan are physical. 13% is digital. PlayStation 4, it's an even split. 50% digital, 50% physical. PlayStation 5, 65% physical, 35% digital. So overall in Japan, 74% of all video games sold are physical, 26% are digital. So you can see in Japan, people still like their physical software, which is crazy when you think about how small some of their houses and apartments and flats are. So there's lack of space, but they still like that physical games over digital storefronts. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, because Alex is not here, I can't quiz myself because I will know the answer. But as you know, I'm currently 36 and old, and Alex is flying. I think he's like 15, 16 or 17 and old on the Nintendo side of things as well. So that will be back next week. Again, it's been a tough episode to do when you're doing it all by yourself because you have to keep talking loads. But Alex will be back next week. We have a lot to go through. If you are a Patreon, you only have a single episode this week, but next week we'll make up for it with multiple episodes for you exclusively on Patreon. If you are not a Patreon, become a Patreon. You get a 7-day free trial to see if you like it. Actually, this is not the week to do it because obviously there's nothing extra. But what is currently on there, our PlayStation Portal hands-on preview is on there, as well as, you know, discussions about various topics specific to PlayStation. So head over to Patreon. Click the link in the description. Help support the show. We've got a lot of content coming in the new year. We're really excited to talk about it. But we're going to talk about it to Patreons first, which we will do next week as well. With that being said, I hope you've enjoyed listening to me for however long this has been. Hopefully I've stretched it out quite a bit. If not, I'm just going to put loads and loads of ads in to get the time up. Thank you very much for listening, and see you all next week. Have a good day, everyone. PlayStation.